You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
You want me to go to Las Vegas at once? Make contact with a Portuguese photographer from the Cerro. He'll have all the details. All I have to do, check into my soundproof suite. He'll seek me out. What do you think?
Sounds like real trouble. You're gonna need plenty of legal advice before this thing is over.
Oh, yeah.
As your attorney, I advise you to rent a very fast car with no top.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll need the cocaine. Tape recorder for special music. A couple of shirts. Get the hell out of L.A. for at least 48 hours. Blows my weekend. Because naturally, I'm going to have to go with you. And we're going to have to arm ourselves to the teeth.
Well, why not? I mean, if the thing's worth doing, we're doing right.
There's a guy I don't know wearing a Chris Crespo shirt.
Chris Crespo radio show. Everybody likes it. Listen to his shit.
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
First, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
What about you guys? We ain't found shit.
But we might as well have a good time.
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 210 of Cinema Crespediso. That is right. 210, it's here. I am your host, Chris Crespo, Orlando's number one film critic. You're listening to Florida's number one movie podcast. That is Cinema Crespediso. If you can think of a better movie podcast from Florida, go fuck yourself.
Fuck yourself.
This week's threat update is magenta. The current threat level is magenta. Panic like you mean it. With me is Drew Sacogburn. Drew.
What up, dude?
How you doing, dude?
Doing, man. Another day, another dollar.
Some new dollars. New dollars for you.
New dollars for you, buddy.
Those I get to come in, but yes, new dollars for all of us. 2017's a new year bringing change. We'll see how it's going to go. It's already been an interesting year, and it's only been a couple of weeks. People don't know what we're talking about because we don't mention that shit on the show. Should we start getting more personal on this show? Maybe that'll get people to connect with us more and want to listen more. Is that what we're missing, Drew?
Maybe. Could be, for chance.
I don't know. I think we're pretty affable people.
I don't know about that.
I think I'm a pretty affable person.
I mean, I consider myself a bit of a misanthrope, so...
Yeah, but you can still be an affable misanthrope.
Can I?
Misanthropy can still be delightful if done properly. Parentheses C colon Bill Hicks comma George Carlin close parentheses.
Yeah, I guess you just gotta do it right.
All
right,
so I knew if I talked long enough
Thompson.
I could, there you go, Hunter S. Thompson. Yeah. Boom. Speaking of Hunter S. Thompson, if you're listening to this,
he's dead.
First of all, he's dead. And if you're listening to this the day it comes out or the day after, right around when this comes out, good chance I'm in the middle of the desert. Come find me.
Bat country, bro.
Please help me. I am in bat country, and things are, oh boy, I'm in the middle of the desert. I need some help. What the fuck are we doing out here in the middle of the goddamn desert? That's what we're doing. We're doing a best of bonus episode. You guys saw the title.
You're doing a bunch of fuckeries, what you're
doing. I'm doing a bunch of fuckeries, so we're doing a best of episode. You guys are going to listen to, I have a whole bunch of clips set up, as well as a very special lightning round mashup supercut at the very end. That's going to be a lot of fun. But guys, check this out. Before we do any of that, we're going to do the streaming pick of the week with the Crespediso Randomizer 9000.1. And I have the streaming pick of the week theme song ready. You ready for that, Drew?
Yes, sir.
Here it comes.
I'm so concerned about the bags.
Movies on fleet. Streaming. That's right. That's your streaming pick of the week theme song. What do you think, Drew?
I think you need to cut me out of the beginning of it.
All right. Well, here we go. We're going to do it. And we're not going to... Let's just get it done quick because we actually have a lot of clips to get through. So, Drew, if you just go ahead and let people know what is this week's streaming pick of the week.
What About Bob?
Nice.
Even though, apparently, according to this, it's not available in any streaming service. It's only available for digital rental.
Oh, well, then that means it's been taken down for whatever. What did it say on
it? It was on Netflix.
On Netflix. Netflix took it down. So why don't we go ahead and get one that is streaming for sure? That's that's fine. Don't worry about it. While we do that, I'm going to sit here and talk to you guys. Guys, first, let's get down and dirty. What are you up to? Are you working out? Pump those legs.
Oh, I know.
Work them glutes.
I know this.
Blast them quads. Are you riding a bike? Hit that hill. Hit it hard. Go. This is now a workout podcast, Drew. Stop all the movie stuff. We are now a workout podcast. I've been inspired. We'll just play up-tempo music and bark in people's ears. What were we going to say? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Row harder, Chris.
I'm sorry. You're going to do your...
I'm going to do my coxswain thing.
Your coxswain thing was coming back. Well, what were you saying? You were going to say something?
Yes. Our new streaming pick of the week is... The Neon Demon.
Oh, excellent. There you go. What is that available on?
That is definitely for 100% available on Amazon.
Yep, Amazon Prime for sure.
If I can ever... Fuck, what the
God. It's a little tougher on the mobile, but you know. But it's the first on Amazon Prime. We've talked about
I know it's on Amazon because I saw it on there last night.
And we talked about Neon Demon a bunch on the show. We're big fans of it. You can... go back and find our review of that, as a matter of fact. We both think quite a bit. It's a crazy movie, sort of a horror film, maybe. It gets sort of horror-ish at the end, but it's about the vain beauty and the narcissism and the underbelly, the secret underbelly of the fashion world, which doesn't exist and involves cannibalism. And it's a very fetishy movie.
Oh, yeah,
that's what Nicholas Winding Refn does. He's a fetishistic director. How do you say that word? Fetishistic.
So weird. It's not showing up on canistream.it.
Well, we know it's there because we saw it on Amazon.Prime. Yeah. On Amazon Prime for sure. Mm-hmm. So there you go. That's the good old streaming pick of the week is the Neon Demon. So I got seven clips set up here of varying lengths, dating back to the last time we did a best of episode. We just did it as a bonus episode, and it was June 2015. So about a year and a half after, about 2 years after we started, we did one. It's been almost the same amount of time. We're going to do another one. I've gone back that far to find clips to represent the last year and a half of Cinema Crespity. So starting with going back to June 14, 2015, that's episode 127. That's when we had SBK in.
Okay.
And in this clip, it's kind of a short clip, we re-explain to Kevin what Christmas is.
Oh, he forgot.
He didn't necessarily forget, but we did have to remind him, and we pointed out, it was pointed out, I'm not sure who did it, that it's Christmas in July at that point. Because that happens too sometimes.
It does. I mean, dude, it could be Christmas in September. You never know.
That's the joy of Christmas. It can pop up at any time.
It can.
You just know when you get that general malaise, that's Christmas. Not only that, he also mentioned how we should be, he comes up with an idea for us to be sponsored by Tesla and Elon Musk.
Man, that sounds like a good idea.
So we'll go ahead and listen to that, and and then after all this time, we'll see if it really is a good idea. So let me see. I had to figure out a way to do the ins and outs on this. I want to do little sound effects so that people know that it's the next sure. bit. You know, like how you remember when you were a kid, did you get the storybooks that came with the cassette tape?
No.
No? You get a kid's book, right? And it comes with a cassette tape. You play the tape, and you read it along. It's like saying what's on the page.
Okay.
And then when it's time to turn the page, it goes like... It makes a sound effect. And it tells you at the beginning of the tape. It's like when you hear this sound...
Turn
the page. And then you hear that throughout... And you follow along. You never had any of those things?
I don't think so.
Oh, man. You know, back on there. Now you just give a kid a podcast. Like, here, listen to Serial. And then and then go on Google and try to figure out whether Bo Bergdahl should be found the trees. It's up to you, kid, as a 4-year-old. Anyway, so we're going to listen to this SBK clip, and we'll be right back on the other side. And here's a little sound effect I'm going to play. You ready? Here we go. I'm going to do this one. I think I'm going to do different ones for each one, too, so this is going to be a pain in the ass.
Sweet.
All right. Kevin's your first time on since Christmas, man.
Since Christmas, man. Yeah. It's been that long?
I know, right? It feels like you've just been on.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, I gotta ask Kevin to come back on the show.
Christmas is always a good time.
Christmas is a good time as long as you don't mind a little bit of car problems or overdue bills.
Right, right, right.
Or whatever other nasty, horrible things.
Whatever horrible things you have to handle at the end of the year. It's all about persevering and hanging out with friends. That's what Christmas is all about.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. But now it's summertime. It's summer, miss. How can I make that?
Summer, miss? You can do Christmas in July.
Christmas in July?
You can.
I wish I thought of that earlier.
Well, you can. It's not July
Christmas,
yet.
Christmas in July is when your AC breaks.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh, that'll do it.
The AC breaks and...
Your brakes break.
Your brakes break. And yeah, they're always car problems are central to the Christmas spirit.
Man, I like having a shitty car. It keeps me humble.
It does. Certain people do that for real. Legit. Like Conan O'Brien.
Uh-huh.
He drives like the same 98 Ford Taurus that he's been driving like for fucking 15 years.
Now he's fucking with us.
I don't think so. Zach Galifianakis is that type of guy.
See, everybody you're saying, it seems like they would do something like that.
No, it's things they do to try to stay humble.
That's what they say?
Yeah.
Oh, I was saying that as a joke.
To try to reject like materialistic possessions. You know, they live in fairly modest homes, you know, compared to like they don't live in mansions and
But they got robots and shit in there.
Probably somewhere, right? Or they have a ranch somewhere.
The house looks real broke down on the outside.
Yeah,
that's just the facade.
They got a facade broke down house, but then they also got a whole farm, like in one of the Carolinas,
and then a room full of gold.
Yes,
yeah,
the gold. This is my gold room. Mm-hmm. This is where I keep my gold. Don't touch anything.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Let's do the plugs. Drew, where can people find you on the interwebs?
At Antihero419 on just about every social media platform you can think of.
And how are you doing on that LO?
Oh, you on LO?
I don't really use it that much.
I got an LO you.
Yeah.
And then we can figure out what that's all about.
What it's all about. Yeah, I'm on there. I haven't used it in forever.
Nope.
How are you doing on that Snapchat?
Not very well.
Not very well.
Nope.
You don't know how to play that game, right?
Nope.
How's it going on the Tinder?
Not very well.
Not very well.
You got to swipe to the left, man.
I keep swiping. Nothing happens.
There's a new one. I think it's called Bumbler? Blender? Not Blender.
Humper.
No, not Blender, Humper.
B-L-E-N-D-R.
It's something that ends in D-R, and it begins with B. But it's started by a lady, and it's Tinder, but only ladies can get an interaction started.
Oh, so ladies initiate.
Yes.
That will work.
Yeah.
That will work.
It cuts so women can use it without having to be bombarded with messages from douchey dudes.
Man, that's genius.
With phishing pictures and pictures with them and sedated tigers and stuff like that.
I need to come up with an app.
Yeah. I can come up with a name. Drew and I can, we know the naming formula.
Yes. We can name it. Not a problem.
Some kid just sold an app to Apple for like
a ridiculous amount of money.
Damn near $1 billion.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Because they know that they're going to make 4, 5, 6 billion. It's like the Snapchat guys. They didn't sell at like four. How much? They were offered a ridiculous amount of money. They didn't sell it.
I would sell quick because I don't want to run a company. I just want the money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just want to develop something and then give me the money to get out.
Exactly.
Try to develop something else. Go buy a zoo. I'm not trying to run a business.
I do that Jurassic Park shit for real.
Yeah.
With like a couple of lizards.
You're going to need that. You're going to need that Elon Musk money for that.
No.
If anyone's going to start a Jurassic
Park. I got the
Park,
Musk.
It's going to be the Tesla. Those Tesla people. You got the Musk.
Oh, yeah. I just need the Elon part.
I got the Jovan Musk.
Is that the Tesla guy?
Yeah.
Have you seen those Tesla videos?
Which ones?
They just step on the gas and freak the shit out of people?
No, I haven't.
And have you seen the dashboard is like a computer screen. It goes from the top to the floor.
Is it really?
It's like a touch. It's ridiculous. It's
He's going to save the world. You know that, right?
I hope so.
He's going to save the world. Those Tesla batteries.
I want the power your house.
The harness of solar energy and spread it out throughout the day to power your house.
Yeah.
So you can power your house with solar energy at night.
He needs to sponsor this podcast.
Yes, he does.
And put one of them Tesla batteries on it.
Yeah. Put Tesla right on the board right there. Plug it in.
And then And we'll jump on one of his SpaceX rockets and podcast from space.
Yeah, Spacecast.
But that battery will produce episodes with or without you.
Yeah.
Like, it'll just punch them out.
Yeah, yeah. It'll just take all the words we've ever spoken and rearrange them.
Yeah.
Use information from the internet. It's like, man, we outsourced ourselves.
Yes, we did.
That might not have been very smart.
Hey, buddy, how are you? Have you been looking for an oddly specific type of weekly, one-hour, pre-recorded radio program / podcast that is hosted by a couple of married idiots discussing the news of the week? You have? Huh. You can enjoy Talking Nonsense with Eric and Stacy along with our 26 other listeners by subscribing at iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play, and Alt360Radio.com. We also air at 8 a.m. Central on FM2 Talk Radio on TuneIn. Give it a shot. Or don't. My self-esteem really could use the boost, though. Thanks, buddy.
Stop. Have a time.
Oh, man. Space Cast Drew, you are a genius, bro.
I am a genius. I mean, sure. I mean, I'll take those solar panels. I'll take the battery. I'll take the rockets. I mean,
since then, they've come out with all the solar panel stuff and more self-driving car stuff, and the Tesla's gotten cheaper. A lot's happened with Tesla in that time. We were just talking about only the battery, hooking up the battery to the board.
Well, I mean, hell, since then, the SpaceX rockets have landed on their own.
Yes. And then Elon Musk tweeted about how he's
going to... And a bunch of them blew up, too. That was awesome.
Well, en route to figuring that one, a bunch of them blew up. But then once that one landed, Elon Musk tweeted, time for me to buy that volcano lair.
Yeah, well... He needs to now.
He's hysterical. Yeah. I actually think he's a funny guy. I like him.
He is a funny guy.
Some people don't like him, but I like him.
He's also going to be the world's first supervillain. I'm telling you guys.
Probably, but you know what? I can see it being like a Serpico Ghost situation where I can see myself working for him.
That's fine. That's the key. That just means you buy into his evil vision.
No, but it's a good vision, though. It's just that there's going to be collateral damage. Yes.
That's what you believe it's good.
Watchmen. Ozymandias.
Yes.
Who do you side with, Drew?
Oh, Ozymandias all the way.
As opposed to Rorschach?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, then there you go. We're on the same side. But it's funny, though, because we're on the same team.
Because I feel more like Rorschach on a day-to-day basis.
Oh, yeah, you
but
do.
I feel... But I totally agree with Ozymandias.
Yeah. You get it.
Yeah.
Rorschach got it, too. But yeah, he was also happy about it. Like, my morals are rigid, sirs. Yeah. I apologize for my... spoilers for Watchmen, guys. That was SBK. He's an awesome dude. KidneyForKevin.com.
Go there.
Spread the word. If you've already been there, let other people know. Just tweet it. All you gotta do is tweet it. KidneyForKevin.com. You don't even gotta like tweet anything about it. Just tweet KidneyForKevin.com. And every little bit helps. Clip two. Here we go. This is our homies from Forget That Neo Radio.
Okay.
He hasn't been in a minute, but I've been incommunicado with him. We're trying to get him back in. Anthony the Black Hasselhoff Davis.
Very nice.
Two watches at a time so you know what time it is.
Okay.
The food and naughty. That fella.
Yes.
Check out ForgetThatEOradio.com, guys. He came in October 2015 for episode 143. And a Vox Populi review of Jurassic World, which had just come out on DVD, led to a discussion with the three of us about the movie. And since it was on DVD, we were a little more free with like details and stuff. And it's actually some pretty funny stuff in there.
Martin.
I enjoyed it. So it's you and me recapping Jurassic World along with Black Hasselhoff, two watches at a time, giving us his review of Jurassic World. So you ready for this?
Yes.
Okay.
On Facebook, Paul Hein got at us.
Paul, what's up, Paul?
I think Jurassic looks like you're talking about Jurassic World.
Jurassic World review?
Yes.
All right, cool. Did you see Jurassic World, Anthony?
Yes.
All right, cool. We'll get your opinion on it, too. Here we go.
A successful theme park with live dinosaur attractions. Nothing could ever go wrong. Enter Indominus Rex, man-made dino with all of nature's best specialized traits and a thirst for blood. Hmm. She's killing for sport. Everything in this movie is predictable and feels like an homage to the first Jurassic Park. Spoiler, they even return to the original Jurassic Park building. Why wouldn't they tear that old shit down when building the new theme park? It took almost 20 minutes to show the first dino, and I could have done without the two kids entirely. Uh-huh. What's up with the kid crying about his parents' impending divorce? The scenes in between D'Onofrio and Pratt were the best. I wish there were more of the InGen subplot. This movie is enjoyable for what it is, and a recommended watch.
A recommended watch! He shat on it for a whole review, and then at the end, he's like, hey, it's good, watch it.
Whatever.
He brings up some good points, though.
Yeah.
So they find the old building. Why didn't they tear that shit down?
That is a good question.
It's all derelict. It's not like they were saving it for preservation.
And all those, I mean, one of the main plot devices, the old Jeep is still running somehow.
The original Jeep?
Yeah.
All they had to do was, like, change the battery out or something.
Something like that.
Simple fix. It's like, oh, we fix cars with our dad, and then they just change the battery.
Yeah, and where the hell did that come from?
Yeah, what's up with those kids? Did you like the kids? Did you like the movie?
Would
you recommend it to people?
Yeah, it's just something entertaining.
Right, it's just entertaining. It's really nothing special. It's not like that first one.
But that was a real corny part in there when they were looking for the dinosaur.
Yep.
And they went in the cage to see if he was there.
Yeah.
And then why he didn't just then he turns a tracker on him, like, wait, he's in here.
Yeah.
Why he didn't turn a tracker on before y'all went in there?
It's just a classic, almost a horror movie move. We're like, we gotta where's the monster? Let's go into the dark looking for it.
Yeah.
Like, here he is. No. We found him.
Oh, he tricked us. He's behind us the whole time. Damn monster. Yeah, you know, the movie is kind of corny. And the whole thing where, like, the kid's like, well, our parents get a divorce?
Nobody
it's like,
cares.
It's like, why is this happening in this movie? Why is this kid crying? We're at a theme park with dinosaurs. And he's like, our parents are getting a divorce.
Nobody cares.
But we kind of needed them kids, though, to keep the story moving.
Because they're the ones that were lost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you notice this? I noticed this, right?
What?
So the kids are in the park and they get lost while the dinosaurs are like out there and shit. So Chris Pratt goes out with Bryce Dallas Howard, the ant, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they go out into the park looking for the kids and they're tracking the kids down. But the kids are always one step ahead of them. And by the end, the kids, they find the Jeep, they fix it, and they're driving back to the gate. And they actually get back to like the rest of the park into relative safety without Chris Pratt or Bryce Dallas Howard ever finding them.
Correct.
Like, they were constantly behind them, but they never catch them. All they do is follow in their footsteps. Nothing actually happens.
Nope.
Right.
It's kind of weird.
Except for Bryce Dallas Howard and Homeboy talk about how they went on one awful date.
Yeah, in the beginning. It's like, oh, we went on one awful date together, and now there's sexual tension. Ooh.
And then another corny part was when the old dinosaur jumps out.
Oh, the old T-Rex?
How the old T-Rex with arthritis going to be the new one that, like, beat LeBron?
It's the original T-Rex, too, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Karl Malone came out there out of retirement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Like, come on.
Nah, man.
Arthritis Rex.
But, one of his little raptor buddies turned around and helped him. Spoiler alert for a movie that everyone saw.
They're like, hey, what's up, homie? I remember you. We fought before.
It's like, hey, but that were cool.
Let's join forces.
If dinosaurs could talk. But then when I saw that shit, when we saw it in a packed theater we saw opening weekend, when the one raptor turns around and comes back to help the T-Rex and the humans, the people in the theater started applauding and cheering. And I was like, damn, this movie is working for these people.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't going to deny that. I thought it was okay, kind of corny, like you say. But I couldn't deny that people were, like, into it. They were fucking into it.
Yeah, they were.
Crazy. Crazy, crazy shit. So now they're making another one, of course.
What?
Jurassic World 2. Yeah. I imagine it's going to be called Jurassic World 2, right? It's a sequel to that, as opposed to, like, Jurassic Park 5?
Maybe.
Because they changed the title of it. Jurassic Universe? Jurassic Park?
They should do it where it's, like, 10 years into the future.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Pratt and the girl's married,
uh-huh,
and they have a baby, and they have a kid who's growing up, and he's Shia LaBeouf, and he's the new,
and he's the new raptor wrangler.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And then you'll really kill the franchise. That's how you kill franchises. You put Shia LaBeouf in it.
Oh,
it's like, we got to end this Indiana Jones thing. We'll put it in Shia LaBeouf looking like he's in a Marlon Brando movie. Ugh. Whoa, what was that?
Awful.
What was that?
Yo, yo, what's good, world? This is your boy, Steezy, coming to you straight out of the Trap House. We are pumping out two brand new shows a week for you, featuring the illest open discussion in O-Town. We love highlighting local Orlando talent, including comedians, musicians, artists, and anyone with beer money. You know what I'm saying? So if you want to finally know what the heat of the week is and not feel like a downright herb, download Steezy's Trap House on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher today. Get booked!
Oh my god, Jurassic World. The more I think about the movie, the less I like it.
The more I think about the movie, the more it's just Jurassic Park all over again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
bigger and dumber.
Yeah, a lot bigger.
And a lot dumber.
So much dumber. So, like, there's no heart to that movie at all.
Weirdly, right? It felt so commercial in the end of the day. Even though the original Jurassic Park, it's still a movie made to make a lot of money, there's still the idea that, oh, we're showing something new and different and fun. It's a Steven Spielberg joint.
And they used a lot of practical effects in that one too.
Things still hold up.
Yeah, yes. I mean, that scene with the Triceratops still holds up to this day.
Yeah, the breathing Triceratops. Yeah. I mean, it's like, actually, when you go to Universal Studios, and they sometimes, I don't know if it's there anymore, in like one of the tucked away corners of the Jurassic Park section, they have like a big Tyrannosaurus Triceratops on its side and it's breathing or whatever. They kind of recreate that.
No.
And even though it's like obviously fake, it's still like impressive. I look at the detail of it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
The fact that it's like its eye, it's blinking and it's looking around.
It's an actual physical object.
Yes, and it's like, this is a level of craftsmanship that is quite impressive. I honestly just more impressive than someone designing a computer. Sure,
yes.
It's still an art form in itself doing a computer. That's still its own incredible skill set. But I don't know, it's just...
it doesn't do it for me.
When you make it physically and it's there in front of you. Right?
It's a real thing.
I think that's a big part of it, absolutely. So that was Black Castle. I'll forget that. Your radio guys, check those guys out. Episode 165, March 6th. We're now jumping into 2016. Cool Carl.
future.
In the future, cool Carl Verna, the video burner, our homie, who's been on a bunch of times.
Yes,
but I grabbed this one because this was in this studio here. We're talking about Ghostbusters and how it hadn't come out yet, but there's a backlash about the whole thing. Oh, they're women,
right?
And someone asked a question in Vox Populi about that, so that keyed off the whole thing. Plus, also before that, someone gave a review of Room.
Nice.
In the Vox Populi. Uh-huh. So that started a discussion about uncomfortable movies, and you talk about some of your most favorite uncomfortable movies like you like to do. So we'll go ahead.
Yeah, I like some really fucked up movies. I don't know why.
Maybe.
I don't know why.
Well, let's listen to this clip.
I mean,
and you'll remind yourself of the same movies.
I almost watched Gozu last night, Chris.
Because it's on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
I almost watched it a week ago myself. Gozu is pretty crazy. That one's not as like fucked up though as some of his other movies. But yes, I did have an urge recently to watch a Takeshi Miike movie.
Exactly.
That's so funny. Okay, I'll do that one. All right. So we're going to listen to Cool Carl. We're going to talk about uncomfortable movies and then the whole Ghostbusters backlash thing. And then we're going to be back. Blah, blah, blah. I kind of just said BB. That was weird. I said we're going to be back. You know what?
Drink some more, Chris. Yep, there we go.
I had a lime. I forgot to get a lime today. So just straight vodka and club soda.
Ooh.
Without citrus. Now it's like I'm punishing myself.
I mean, you might as well be drinking rubbing alcohol at that point in time.
I might as well be. get it out, Drew. All right. Here we go. Listen to clip 3 with Cool Carl.
Yeah. At Rage Against Twit got at us.
Rage Against Sweat, our homeboy.
He's got a Room review.
Nice Room. The Oscar nominated for Best Picture. Brie Larson won Best Actress.
Tense and emotionally disturbing. Mm-hmm. When you think it's about to end, the floor drops. Are you okay with an uncomfortable watch?
Oh. It is kind of an uncomfortable watch.
I am totally okay with an uncomfortable watch.
Oh yeah,
I've watched some very uncomfortable movies.
Drew loves the uncomfortables.
I don't necessarily love them.
He loves recommending them.
I do love recommending them and watching you.
They'll tell you to watch Itchy the Killer all day long.
Yeah, go ahead. And you know what? After that, do a twofer. Itchy the Killer followed by Visitor Q. And just watch your brain Visitor's melt and watch your world darken before your eyes.
Yeah, I can't do that before I go to sleep.
Yeah no.
I know, but I can't do it when I wake up either. I mean, can't start my day that way.
Yeah. That has to be, for me, it would have to
and
be.
And then the next day, go watch Little Children.
No. Oh, yeah.
You're a dark man. This motherfucker.
It's a funny movie.
This motherfucker. I've got a story about that shit.
You know what? Yeah, man, that's deep, man. I really, you know, for the most part, I don't want to feel uncomfortable when I mean, watch movies.
Neither do I.
For the most part.
But it's
got to have a payoff.
Some of the best movies that I've ever seen have. There have been times where I'm watching this movie and I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, sure. You know, the first time I saw, goddamn, why can't I think of the name?
I don't know, why can't you think of the name?
Hammer Smash Face.
Hammer Scene.
Old Boy. Old Boy. Yeah. Old Boy. The first time I saw Old Boy. Very uncomfortable watching that movie.
Old Boy has
the end makes it even more uncomfortable.
When you find out what's happened.
But for some reason, that uncomfortableness, that's also the payoff of the movie.
Because it's so good.
Yeah. So,
it's a good movie.
I mean,
I really didn't want to watch it because for that very reason
you
just described. I'm not watching this.
It's so good. The original. Oh my god.
Wait a minute. The original one you're talking about or the remake?
The South Korean one.
It's fucking amazing.
Spike Lee said they even took like the movie away from him and they edited it down and tried to make it more commercial, and that's why he even called a Spike Lee joint.
I mean,
it's a Spike Lee film.
And there was
still a tiny
payoff in the American one.
Well, yeah.
Nowhere near.
It's still the same story for the most part.
Yeah.
Which one would you say see first?
Oh, the South Korean one.
See the South Korean. Seriously, don't even bother with the American one.
All right.
Yeah.
There's no point.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Just go see the South Korean one and, you know, ruin your day.
I mean, ruin your day.
It depends.
It's a pretty dope movie, though.
Depends on who you are.
It's like so well made and cool.
Yeah, and awesome.
Dope.
Really awesome.
Old Boy's so good.
Very cool.
But Room, though, the thing with Room, I think at the end, when Room is over and it's all said and done, not to be all... it's not spoilery, but it's... Mm. It, It is an ultimately an uplifting movie.
Okay.
You know, it goes to dark places for sure, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel for Room.
That's cool.
And so that's why it ended up being a popular film and people recommend it to each other. Because, yeah, you know, it could, for some people, it could break them down. But at the end, ultimately, it's gonna lift you up.
Yeah. All right, that's what's up.
If you connect with it. Otherwise, you'll just be bored about some movie about some dude or some chick who got kidnapped.
Mm-hmm. All righty.
But it's good. I liked it. Thanks, Rage Against Sweat. We appreciate it. What else we got?
On Facebook.
Facebook.
Both Mike Venditti and Ricardo Perez have questions that kind of match up. Okay. So I'm going to read them both and we'll talk about it.
Okay, cool.
Topic: is it okay to be unexcited about the Ghostbusters reboot for non-sexist reasons? Also, Ghostbusters, yes or nah?
All right, those are questions. So yeah, Ghostbusters trailer came out this week.
Needs to be done.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen the trailer yet, but I can't wait.
Okay, have you seen the trailer?
Yeah.
You've seen it? Okay. No. So yeah, have you guys been aware how online, like, once they announced they were doing the female cast of Ghostbusters, a lot of people freaked out?
Yeah.
No. And there was, like, this weird segment of dudes who were like, they're out there. They're like, women aren't funny, or, you know, they can't, this is, I don't want to see a movie with women in it. Like,
so don't go watch, don't go see the movie.
Don't go see the movie, right? Yeah. And they're like, this is so PC, it's the PC police.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
bad. The same people were saying shit in Star Wars, are like, oh, the PC police never made a movie about a girl and a black dude. Oh, you know, like, everything's got to be...
Not just a black guy, maybe a gay black guy.
Maybe, yeah, really blow those fucking stupid fucking exactly, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
Fuck you guys. And those same people are like, oh, well, there's got to be gay people.
Yeah. Right.
But it's, what was I going with that?
I don't know.
What were we talking about?
Well, it's the people are just discussing the fact...
Ghostbusters, yeah.
People are just discussing the fact that this is just a trend in diversity.
Yeah.
Versus the fact that, hey, it's just a reflection on society. I mean, it's just the way society is.
I mean, seriously, I don't...
It is.
It's two generations of people going at it. Where, where, you know, Generation X, Millennials, Generation Z, if there is one, they could give a shit about all of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But other people who... don't see that on a regular basis, right? Are not really truly seeing what America is.
Yeah.
They're only seeing their part of America. So when they see it in a movie, it's a shock to them. Yeah. It's like, guess what? There are other places that exist besides where you live.
Yeah, it's not just your family, the people that you're surrounded by. Yeah. There's other people in the world. Yeah.
So that's the way I see it. It's like embrace what the majority of people see.
Embrace the rainbow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Skittles.
The Skittles all the way.
I agree. Taste the rainbow.
Oh, I still agree.
You have to put the rainbow in your mouth, Chris.
But but there is a weird segment. It's a very small segment, but they're very loud. That's how it always is. They're very small, but very loud segment of weird dudes who are like, fuck this movie because there's chicks in it. Yeah. And they exist, but you know what? Fuck those people. We don't need to be paying attention to them. Mike asks, Mike Venditti,
is it okay to be unexcited about the Ghostbusters reboot for non-sexist reasons?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
It's a comedy, it's either going to be your cup of tea or it's not.
Right.
Yeah. B, it's almost a reboot. So if you're into the whole reboot thing, which they've been doing a lot of lately, you know, it's either your bag or it's not.
It's going to temper your, okay.
And C, it's going to be a female comedy. I mean, it's... got four lead female characters.
Yeah.
So it's going to kind of lean towards
a more female perspective.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, sure.
So,
yeah.
I mean, maybe these actors aren't your cup of tea either.
That happens.
Which is fine. That happens. Yeah. I mean, for a while, I didn't like Melissa McCarthy.
And there's plenty of people who don't necessarily like Paul Feig movies.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Bridesmaids and Spy.
Yeah, which is totally cool. You know, this might not be your cup of tea. And hey, guess what? There are a lot of movies out there that aren't going to be your cup of tea.
Yeah.
Fucking get over it.
Yeah, just get
over it. But some people feel like certain franchises are like sacred.
Sacred? Yes.
Like you can't tamper.
And I understand that mentality. I don't get it, but I understand it. And I also don't understand it in relation to Ghostbusters, for which there's been one good movie, one terrible sequel, and then...
and a whole bunch of shitty cartoons.
Stupid comics, bad toys. Yeah. It's not like it's some sort of sacred cow that hasn't been touched before. Right. Nothing. No art is sacred anyway.
No, that's true. That's very true.
Art is sacred and not sacred at the same time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, you'll be not excited. It's cool. I thought the trailer was okay. I think it's an okay trailer. I like the design of the ghosts.
Yeah, I think interesting. The ghosts are going to be a lot more cool this time around.
Yeah, and then this is a geeky thing, but keep in mind that the effects that you see in the trailers
are unfinished.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? They're just really the previs for what's going to happen later.
They're, anyway. They're showing you whatever they have that's closest to done.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. I do try to keep that in mind when I see something that's effects heavy in Marvel.
Uh-huh.
That when you see the ultimate product, the final movie, that's when, you know,
yep.
they render that shit up to like a week before the movie comes out sometimes.
Exactly.
Yep. Like, is Optimus
is that file done yet? So, it says 3 minutes.
So what's our final verdict, guys? Because Ricardo asks, yes or not?
On Ghostbusters?
On Ghostbusters.
I'm sure, yeah.
You know what? I think it's the era of geek women finally claiming their own geek.
Well, it's the era of geeks.
True. Yeah,
yeah. So
and women geeks have been stepping up more lately.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
So I think give it a chance. Bridesmaids.
Bridesmaids was fucking hilarious.
Was hilarious. You know what I mean? And my wife watches it in heavy rotation.
Yeah,
but that on a regular basis.
Paul Feig directed that, but that was Kristen Wiig's screenplay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the reason that was so funny is because of her. She's She's a super talent. But she's back. She's working on the Ghostbusters.
Yeah. You know? I would if it was the tomato thing, it was like, yeah, I want 97% people to say they should want to see it.
I would hope so, yeah. And just be excited for it. I mean, if it's good, it's good. If it's not, I mean,
then so be it. It's not.
So be it. It's just a Ghostbusters movie.
It's your 100th show, Cinema Crespedizo. And we want you and Drew to know we really, 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 really dig it. It's your 100th show, Cinema Crespedizo, and we want you and Drew to know we really dig it. Oh, you, oh, and you and Drew get aroused by previews, and now both of you, oh, we smell like popcorn. It's your 100th show, Cinema Crespedizo. And to the movies we go, primarily because you pick them.
There you go.
Thank you. Hey,
that was awesome.
Yeah. Thank you, Curtis. That was fantastic.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Oh, man, cool Carl with his opinions. We love the guy.
He's a great guy.
He's the best. And also, keying off with that room review, keying off the whole segment, our homie Rage Against Twit, we appreciate that. Just like Paul Hine with that Ghostbusters review. Yeah. Our listeners, man, we got some pretty good listeners.
We do. Pretty interactive listeners.
We have a good handful of some interactive listeners. Now, a lot of shows do the thing where they're like, we have the best listeners in the world, blah, blah, blowing up their audience, trying to make the audience feel good. I've chosen to take the other routes. I have on a handful of occasions chided the listeners for being kind of lackluster and not really engaging. And look at all these stickers we have here. We're trying to give these stickers away and no one's asking for stickers. CinemaCrespedizo@gmail.com. We'll send you the stickers, guys.
How long have I been saying that we have so many stickers for?
Exactly. No one's asking for them.
We have even more now than we did before.
So I'm not going to blow up my audience, blow smoke up their ass and say, oh, you guys are the bestest, blah, blah, blah. Because as a whole, honestly, guys, the number of downloads we get compared to the amount of reviews that we have, it doesn't make any sense. There should be so many more reviews. I don't know. You guys are listening regularly.
Way lazy.
But you're way lazy. You're just taking the free product with no ads. The only ads I put on the show are ads for other podcasts, and they don't pay for those ads. Yeah. That's a friendly community thing that I do. No money. This is a money-losing venture.
Oh, yeah, it is.
So the fact that, you know, you guys...
A time-losing venture. It's an everything-losing venture.
We don't ask for very much on the show, so... So I ain't gonna blow smoke up you guys. I've seen some podcast audiences. I've seen the Tom and Dan audience, and you know, I've seen those are some good audiences.
No.
Those are some good listener bases. You guys are okay. You could be doing better. But a handful of you are amazing. Paul's great. Rage Against Twit. Scott hits us up every week.
Ron out in LA.
Ron is the man. We love Ron. And now that I started naming names, I'm gonna start forgetting them. I feel bad. I'm sorry, guys. Jerry Sue's down there around the Melbourne area, South Florida. She's always hitting us up and sharing our shows. Guys, so you're all amazing that do that shit. The ones that don't do that shit, guys, get on the train. Come on, help us out. Do you like the show? You want more episodes and help us
grow?
Hop
on the bandwagon.
Hop on that bandwagon. All that was unintended, but it happened. So there we go. Deal with it. Clip 4.
our homie Matt from SBK Live.
Yes.
Now of JMO Real Estate.
Correct.
And other things appearing in DVDs nationwide. We're not going to say that, though, because he doesn't need that blemish on his business record.
Hey, we... He's not the only one.
We barely doesn't matter.
I mean, yeah.
Like I said, this is a money losing venture.
Yeah.
From the beginning, uh-huh. get-go, almost designed that way. Matt was in episode, the very next week after Cool Carl, as a matter of fact, Matt was in, that was the last time he was in, episode 166, which was March 13 of last year, 2016. And that was like only a couple weeks after the Oscars. So we talked about his opinions of the movies of 2015. For example, we talked about how Spotlight won Best Picture, which has come up recently in our... Well, we checked out the Curtis Earth and Simon Time trivia, and both that week, both two different shows, both had questions where the answer was Spotlight.
Yeah.
It was like essentially the same question, but worded differently.
Yeah, it took me a while to get that answer.
Yes, you did, but you're the one who got it.
I remembered.
You're the one who just got barely. It, though. And we thought about that for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
What was the Best Picture winner of 2015? And it killed us.
Yeah.
And it was only a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good movie. It's Spotlight.
It is, but it wasn't Best Picture material.
Was it, though? Exactly. So that's what we talked about with Matt. And then he called us up on other movies that he saw in 2015. And at the very, very end, we all agreed very quickly that Mad Max Fury Road was aces.
Oh, of course.
Of course. That's a fucking jam.
Yeah. I mean, I still want to see the Black and Chrome edition.
Yeah, we still got to see that shit. We got to get on it. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things we got to do. All right, I need another sound effect to let us know.
Pick one.
Here it comes.
This is Sparta!
Let's see. So,
well, I've seen a lot of movies this year.
That's good.
Last year.
Last year.
More than usual. So I'm.
Before we start with the actual.
I got some inputs.
I would like to catch up on some stuff. Before we start with the actual, all the brouhaha, all the segments and whatever. Best Picture. What did you think of how the Oscars turned out with Spotlight winning Best Picture and the director for The Revenant winning Best Director and all that stuff?
Okay. Yeah, I watched the Oscars this year. I usually don't, but I saw a bunch of movies and I watched it.
Hmm.
I don't know. I heard this theory on the Oscars, and I totally, totally agree with it, that what they should do is, you should give the awards out, you should wait 5 years to give out the Oscars, because because the movies kind of sink in, they have a life on HBO, uh-huh. and more people have a chance to see them, and like, if you look back in five years in the past... Like the year Social Network lost. I think it lost to like the King's Speech or something like that.
Or maybe The Artist or something.
Yeah. It's something ridiculous because once time sets in, like you can see what movie was the most impactful. And it's a lot more because Spotlight won. I didn't see it. I mean, everybody says it's great. So I'm sure it's a fine movie. But I think that Mad Max is going to be a movie that people are going to just own and rewatch.
Yeah,
and it's going to be you. You watch it every time it's on.
People are going to dress up as those characters than they're going to dress up as Michael Keaton.
Yeah, it's going to have a cultural impact.
That was the only movie I've saw twice in a theater since I was a kid.
Nice.
I think.
Mad Max. Awesome.
Yeah. It's the best movie I've seen in a really long time.
Oh, yeah.
So
it was our official best favorite film of last year for both of us, as well as Billy D, our New York City correspondent.
I saw it three times in theaters.
Yeah, we saw it multiple
times. The only other movie I've done that with was Watchmen.
We were going to see Jurassic World opening night, and it was sold out for like the next three showings.
Wow.
We're like, we're not going to come back at 10:30 at night. We'll just wait till tomorrow.
Yo, Mad Max plays in like 10 minutes.
No, you said, you were like, yo, Mad Max just started. Like it had already started. And like you want to go see it, and then we bought tickets for Mad Max and saw it for the third time. Went into it, the movie. It was like 10 minutes into the movie. Did it matter?
Because no, we're like, it made no difference.
We already seen it a few times, and
it was still awesome.
Love that movie. That's why we got the poster up there, and another one on the door.
Yeah, that was good. Otherwise, the only other, I mean, I was just
The Martian. What did you think of The Martian?
I liked it actually. I thought it was really good.
Yeah,
it was real entertaining, and Matt Damon was really good in it.
He is really good.
I think he probably. You know, everybody just wanted Leonardo to win the award so much. I think he probably could have won an award for that if the circumstances has been a little bit different.
Has Matt Damon won? He hasn't won for acting. He just won for writing.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be like Matt Damon's... Maybe he's next on the list then.
Probably.
For the next, like, 10 years, the discussion will be like, where's Matt Damon's Oscar? and he'll get snubbed a couple times and or whatever, and then finally he'll do a good movie where it's like good but not great, but then people are like, oh, it's his
here
time.
You go. This it's your turn.
It's time to win his acting Oscar. Maybe he'll get one.
But yeah, other than that, you know, my only takeaway was I can't believe Stallone didn't win. It's just mind-boggling.
That was kind of crazy.
Seriously, right?
And
he was set up as the winner.
Yeah,
I don't even know who the guy is that won. I already forget his name. I've never even heard of him before.
Yeah, no,
and you never will again.
Yeah, Mark Rylance. He's an English actor. He's more popular in England, and
I'm sure he's earned his share of BAFTAs.
And he's He's a fine actor. He's good. It was a good performance and a good movie. But I mean, that Stallone stuff was that was crazy. Everyone was expecting him to win.
Yep.
Yeah. That was good though. Creed. You see Creed?
Yeah, I did see Creed.
I love Creed.
I like Creed a lot. I did. I thought Stallone was really really great in it. Mm-hmm.
He's also playing a character that he's been playing since the 70s.
Yeah,
it's almost like putting on an old jacket.
But yeah. I felt like he actually had like emotional. Like he actually felt bad for him in the movie.
Oh sure.
Like it was like it made you sad a little bit. But so I also felt something to be said for that.
I also felt bad for him though in Rocky Balboa when he's like he's mourning his dead wife. He's mourning Adrian a lot more. And then he feels much more alone. His son is like in the movie, but still distant.
Mm-hmm.
I still felt the same kind of. But this one was then. It's like, oh, now he's got the cancer, and mm-hmm. and his son's not even cross country. It's gone, not even in his life, and all that shit. Yeah, he's a good actor, man. Stallone. He can be. Thank you, Drew. He can be a good actor.
I've seen him do some really awful things.
We've all seen Assassins. Yeah. Should have been good. Stallone versus Banderas in an action movie should have been good.
Awful.
Not good.
Cliffhanger.
Not good. Cliffhanger should have been good. Actually, Cliffhanger's not too bad. It's got a very hammy John Lithgow. John Lithgow's a bad guy? Come on.
Well, I mean, John Lithgow's awesome. Sylvester Stallone was not good in the movie.
He was Sylvester Stallone-ish. He was just in his, like, steroid Superman phase where he was doing movies like that in Demolition Man. It's fantastic in Demolition Man.
Demolition Man was awesome.
Did you guys know in Demolition Man, Sandra Bullock, her character, she's Sylvester Stallone's daughter?
So they had mind sex.
Yeah, so they had mind sex, yes.
They had mind sex.
I don't think I've seen that movie for 20 years. All right, I don't remember it.
Rewatch that movie, but watch it with the context, because he gets frozen in the 90s, uh-huh. right? And he gets woken up like 30 years later, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
She, in the 90s, there was like the big earthquake in the 90s, and her parents died or whatever. She never knew who her parents were, but she's like has the same like animal gene, like to want to be like 90s violent like Stallone, and they're it's in the movie.
So they had mind sex incest?
Yes, without knowing. That's why he recoiled from it subconsciously. That's why he couldn't take it.
He's like, no!
He's like, no, there's something wrong about this. The hunka chunka. Then he calls it the hunka chunka. Alright, so you know what? That's glad to catch up on some things here. Glad that you like Mad Max as much as we did. We're on board with that one together.
Mad Max is amazing.
That's very cool.
Hello, Cinema Crespediso listeners. This is Chris from BYOCB, the podcast where we drink, we laugh, we drink, inviting you to join myself and my co-host Alex as we take you out of a studio environment and into different environments that revolve around enjoying a few adult beverages with your friends. Check out our stuff at BYOCBShow.com or give us a follow on Twitter at BYOCBShow.
That's what I think of Matt's movie opinions. He gets the Looney Tunes sound effect. No, I'm kidding. We love Matt. He's a great guy. JMO Real Estate. They even have t-shirts. They even have t-shirts, Drew.
They do.
And you know what?
I saw them.
For being a real estate company, I'd wear it. So we're looking at a picture of... Yeah, that is correct. That is 100% correct. You know what, Drew? But the thing is, though, with that picture, no one's going to notice that.
No.
Considering what's in that picture?
Yeah, no. No.
Not noticeable.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah.
So, if you don't know what we're talking about, that's perfectly okay. What's that crazy face, Drew?
Hang on.
Oh, Drew's making a crazy face. Guys, check out SBK Live, although they haven't really done an episode in a minute, but, you know.
Really, have they not?
Again, yeah, they haven't, but, you know, again, Kevin's doing his thing, kinneyforkevin.com. Any reason to bring that up again is a good one. Clip 5. This one's kind of a little more serious. But we might as well. I figured it'd be good to bring in here. This was from June, episode 181. This is a couple weeks after the Pulse shooting right here in town in Orlando.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And we had in Jen Vargas. It was her second time on the show, and she's very much connected with the community in many ways. And when we did the plug section of that show, she actually told us a lot about what was going on in the community, all the different programs, and how Orlando was kind of coming together in the face of a goddamn horrible tragedy, man. It was terrible. Put us on the map in the worst way possible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was cool to talk about it in a way that to frame it in a much more positive way.
Yeah.
And how everyone was able to come together, different groups of different things, et cetera, et cetera. And Jen Vargas was there for a whole lot of it, and she kept us informed.
She did.
Which we appreciate. And yes. She is a great guest, too, so we're going to have her back in 2017 for sure. So, guys, we're going to be back right after this clip. So, here we go. What do I need? What's going to get us into the more somber? That's the whole Pulse thing. There's no easy way to do this.
No.
Let's get the plugs out of the way. Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antihero419, all over the interwebs.
Tweet Drew your favorite gifs from America's Got Talent. Jen.
Please don't.
Where can people find you on interwebs?
I am at Jen Vargas, VARGAS, all over the interwebs.
Nice and simple. Your actual name.
Yes.
Together.
It boom. Is me.
Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
All
you're,
of it.
You're out there.
Google Plus.
Any organizations or groups that you want to plug that you're working with these days?
Because
I know you do a lot of. You're always out there doing something.
I do, and it's been a couple of emotional weeks for Orlando.
Yes, it has been. Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm working with a couple of groups. There is a project that's going on at the Dr. Phillips Center on Tuesday called Beautiful Together, an artistic journey toward hope.
Okay.
And I'm not part of that show, but after that show, following in the Cinef Art Plaza, there's going to be angels there. Like, you know how they got the angels over at Orlando Shakes to block out the Westboro protesters?
Yes. I did not hear about that, but that sounds about right.
There were people with giant sheet wings that were basically blocking the view so the protesters couldn't mess with the people having a goddamn funeral.
Very good. Very good.
Okay. So after the Beautiful Together, I'm going to be part of that vigil. I don't know if I'm an angel yet or an ally.
You're going to find out when you get there?
I will. I mean, there's 100-something volunteers. There's over 50 organizations involved in this, from Voci Dance to Dr. Phillips Center, just anybody and everybody, Orlando Ballet.
Sure.
So many different things, and all the proceeds go to the One Orlando Fund.
Very good.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
And it's just to see the way Orlando's come together.
Yeah,
it's
been amazing. Yeah, I mentioned it before on this show a couple weeks ago that it's a bummer that it takes such a tragedy for it to happen, but it's nice to see everyone really come together and the way we can see that there are so many people that are on the same page.
Right.
You know, we are all united together in love and hopefully, and we'll push forward as a community, and it's what's been happening.
Yes, the coolest thing that I've seen, it's not just buying a shirt or wearing a pride flag or wearing a ribbon. It's about inclusion.
Yeah.
And Orlando, obviously, we're a town of that.
Yeah.
We get it.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy how, I always see online, like, Orlando was ranked very highly for gay-friendly cities in America, especially for its size, for being a medium-sized town. Yep. And
it's a hospitality industry.
The hospitality industry does that. Disney actually embracing gay days and not shutting that down when that propped up and, making it a part of what they do every year went a big, long way towards that.
JetBlue, Delta, they've all been the local chapters of JetBlue and Delta specifically.
Like, have been stepping up. And
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the Lake Eola Vigil, Delta had a huge rainbow flag that they borrowed from someone. Who would have like a 50-foot flag randomly?
Yeah, interesting, right?
They did a walk, I think, around Lake Eola and came back, and it was just beautiful.
Oh, very cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Very nice.
It was neat.
That was at that vigil where like 50,000 people showed up.
Yeah, yes,
that was a big deal. I saw all those pictures online.
It was great. It
looked insane. Looked like a lot of, almost a bit of a logistics nightmare, but it seemed like it went off without a hitch pretty much.
Yeah, and no one complained. Everybody, it was uncharacteristically cool that day.
Yeah.
And breezy.
Yeah, it was. I remember.
And we had a rainbow before. Which
It worked out.
Tiny bit of rain.
Yeah, it worked out quite well. Yeah, that was good stuff.
It's kind
of
crazy.
Anything else you want to throw out there for people? Or?
I'm also doing something called Pulse of Our Heartbeat.
Okay.
A local woman named Kelly Sharkey.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly Green is her married name. She wrote a song.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to do kind of a cool thing where she's broadcasting this anthem. She calls it A Hug for Orlando.
Okay.
And she wrote a song. Orlando. It's just a real quick song or whatever, but sure. She wants people from around Orlando and around the world to broadcast at the same time.
Okay.
To do kind of a social collaborative.
Right. Everyone engaging in the same thing at the same moment. It would be playing a short song. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that's cool. That's going to happen. It's called a flash cast.
Okay.
Which is neat. It's going to happen Wednesday the 29th at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Okay. Cool.
So that's cool. We're going to be gathering over at WMFE. To do a song, to sing part of the song.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now that I have my voice back, I've been ill.
Oh, yeah.
I can actually sing parts of the song.
Yeah, get down with the song itself. Right?
Yeah.
Very good.
So, yeah, it's a lot of togetherness, a lot of coolness.
Excellent.
Yes. And also Film Slam.
When's the Film Slam coming
next
up?
Next Film Slam is July 10th at 1 p.m. at Inzion.
Okay, there you go.
I'm trying to program.
July 10th is a Sunday.
Right. Yes, it is. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's... I'm trying to do themes since I took over from Tim in December.
Yeah.
And the themes seem to be working. We had our first ever Film Slam, which was amazing. All female filmmakers.
Nice.
It was the whole program.
That's awesome.
Very well attended. The ladies were on point on social media. We had a fantastic turnout.
Very good.
So that's going to be a permanent fixture with Film Slam going forward.
Yeah.
And then
theming it out.
Of course.
Great.
And then in February we had like a love, but it's twisted love, like, oh, love. Just interpretation of love we had.
Awesome.
Clowns getting intestines eaten out. Obsessive love. Like, we ran the gamut.
Nice. Awesome. Love does run the gamut, doesn't it?
It really does.
It causes a lot of good things and bad things.
Love is all around.
Love is all around. And so July 10th.
July 10th.
Next Film Slam. Awesome. People, check that out. Locals, check that out for sure.
Yes.
If you're in town on vacation, there's something to do that the locals would do.
And I Facebook Live the Q&As now.
Excellent.
I did Periscope, but Facebook Live is a little bit more stable in the theater.
Is it?
So people can tune into the Q&A. It's not manned because I'm on stage. And
right. So you just set it there, but at least people can then listen and check it out.
Yep.
So they can find you on Facebook for that? Or is that done through the Film Slam account, or do you do that?
That's done through the Film Slam account.
Okay, so find the Film Slam Facebook account, and then you can check out that live
feed. Right. So at Inzion Film Slam.
Excellent. So much going on.
Tons.
Always busy. I know you'd always be good for some good plugs. Thank you so much.
And The Infiltrator is happening.
The Bryan Cranston movie?
Mm-hmm. The Tampa premiere is happening July 6th. That's next week.
The Tampa premiere. Is that the Southeast premiere or the Florida premiere? Or
I'm not sure. I'd have to look at it.
Because it doesn't come out wide until...
The 13th.
The 13th. So
But Bryan Cranston, Benjamin Bratt, and the director who... Brad Furman?
I don't know who's directing it.
I
didn't check.
Please excuse.
I've seen the trailer a bunch in the last few weeks. Right, Drew? We've seen the Infiltrator trailer a bunch of times.
Yep.
But it doesn't mention the director in the trailer, though.
I will be going to that premiere.
Very cool. So if people follow you on Twitter, I'm sure they could see like some pictures from there and things like that.
Me and Central Florida Top 5. I'll be doing some stuff on Central Florida Top 5.
Very cool.
As well.
If you're going to the premiere, you'll be in Tampa. Look for Jen.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Say hi. Excellent, excellent. All right.
I told Drew and Chris that I'd write them a song. I broke out my guitar, it didn't take long. They talked directors and actors and factor in a funky blend of film nerd stuff and box office weekends. Oh, oh, Cinema. Chris Bediso. Chris and Drew.
Cinema.
Chris Bediso. And you.
Settle back
and enjoy the news and views.
To the movies we go with Chris Crespo.
Thank you guys for listening to that clip. Remember to check out Jen Vargas all over the interwebs. Like she said, at Jen Vargas, JenVargas. Might as well talk about where people can find us online. Drew, where can people find you on the interwebs?
At Antihero419, all over the interwebs.
Fuck yeah. Email him your request for nudes at drewhasnonudes@drewlovesnudes.com.nude.
These become more ridiculous every time.
What's more ridiculous is that after each show, I go to Hotmail and I register all these accounts. And, you know, I'm waiting for the emails. They're not coming. I'm going to forward them and see when they come in.
Okay.
Tweet me at I am Chris Crespo. Next clip. This is the longest clip of the bunch. But I figure it's a good one.
Longy buddy goody?
A longy buddy goody. It's one of our favorite guests. Amy Drew Thompson.
Ah, yes.
AmyDrewThompson.com. She Amy Drew.
Donuts.
The ADT. She brings donuts or beers. She brings some sort of delicious carbs.
Mm-hmm. And they are delicious.
And they are always delicious. And she's so much fun. We always get such great feedback every time we have her on. People love her as a guest. We enjoy having her on. She'll be on again soon in 2017 for sure. But here, this is from her appearance, episode 185, which was July 2nd, 2016. No, July 24th, excuse me, 24th, 2016. She gave us reviews. It was pretty much the box office recap. Mm-hmm. And she gave us reviews of the top three movies. She saw them all.
Oh, did we miss any of those? Do you remember?
We missed one of them.
Okay.
The movie she talks about, she gives reviews of, and then we all talk about Ghostbusters,
okay.
The Secret Life of Pets, yes. And Star Trek Beyond. So there you go. We talk about those three movies in this clip, and we have a lot of fun. Always, yes, Beyond. Ooh, it wasn't that much Beyond. Drew is very disappointed by the lack of Beyondness.
The coolest part, and still the only part I remember of the entire movie is the Enterprise surfing somehow, like on that wave of ships.
Yeah, that was really cool. And it's also in the trailer. Though.
That's all I remember.
And then it's like, listen, all y'all, it's a sabotage. That's in the trailer. No, wasn't the actual music cue in the movie?
Yeah, it was.
Right?
It wasn't actual cue in the movie. Yeah, it wasn't just trailer music.
No, some of the bitches. All right, guys. So here we go. Listen to this clip with Amy Drew. Like I said, it's a long one, but a good one. We'll be back on the other side with the final best of clip, as well as a lightning round mashup bonus. It's good stuff. Here we go.
Three Ghostbusters.
There we go.
Woo-hoo. Weekend gross 21.6, total 86.8.
That's okay. It's looking like it might get to 125 domestic, which is at a budget of like 140 million.
There'll already be a sequel.
Oh, for sure. They talk about wanting to make many, many sequels. I think maybe with this one being a pretty good movie, I think more people will be willing to see sequels. Drew and I reviewed this last week, but Amy, you saw this film.
I saw it yesterday.
What did you think of it?
Well, let me just back you up and say, when I first heard that they were rebooting it, mm-hmm. I didn't even have an issue with the women thing. I tend to hate reboots.
Sure.
Because most of them suck and are mm-hmm. just disappointing. Mm-hmm. And I wish that people would just give new ideas a chance.
Yes.
But they're afraid.
Agreed.
So I was very down on the idea.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked it.
It's a good movie.
I liked it.
It's fun, right?
It totally was fun.
Yeah.
It was totally fun. And I loved, you know, that... You know, there were a lot of fun kind of quips paid to jerks on the internet who are haters.
Yeah, a couple times.
And,
yeah, yeah.
And
comments on the internet.
Yeah, and I enjoyed the cameos and
right. Yeah, yeah.
And it was funny. It was funny by itself, and I think all four of the ladies did a great job. I thought they were all very funny.
Absolutely, I think it was genuinely a good movie, mm-hmm. and I'm looking forward to a sequel.
It turned into this weird dark action movie at the end.
My kids loved it. I still can't wrap my head around that.
It's always interesting. I'm always interested with the younger generation.
Yes, 8
feel.
And well, they know I took. When what was it, the 30th anniversary, and it was in the theaters, they re-released. My girls to see that.
Okay. And were they like, this was fun?
They
or?
Loved the original.
Okay.
Yeah, and so we've watched it and everything else. So like my older one was having fun going, oh, that's, you know.
Oh, picking oh, things up. Oh, sure,
seeing
sure.
all the
okay.
people she recognized. I was impressed that she recognized half of them because they're so much older.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Yeah, 30 years
She's
now.
So sad she didn't recognize Bill Murray.
Oh, Bill.
It was so sad.
He is of all them. Well, Dan Aykroyd is like Ross said last week, they had to put him in a car and drive him in and off the set.
He's like 500 pounds.
Yeah, he's a big old vodka swilling lardo now.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. He is huge. But, yeah, Bill Murray looks like he's aged the most.
I know, but he's
them.
The best. I love him.
He's the best. And his cameo is my favorite.
Yeah, well, that's what they gave him the most because he's the best.
He's the best. And the whole ghost the skeptic thing. That was fun. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's an enjoyable movie, and people...
I liked it. I liked that it was a little bit scarier.
Yeah.
The ghosts were a little scarier.
A little intense. Yeah. A little more intense. Like, that opening scene was pretty intense.
And I needed to go at a certain time, so I went to 3D, which I don't generally do.
Oh, but yeah. But because of the schedule, you were stuck.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I was sure. Like, well, I want to go at this time, so I'll go to the 3D one. And I liked it.
I read, actually, that they did some interesting things with the 3D. They did the thing, which most movies don't even bother doing, with the black bars on the top of the bottom. Like, they actually put in black bars on the screen. You wouldn't normally see them in a theater, to give it the widescreen look. So then elements could, like, go over the black bar, and it looks like it's coming more out of the frame.
Yeah.
Like, it's busting out.
Yes, yes. These visual tricks that they...
Yeah, yeah. That you would only see in the 3D, actually, which is... and that's actually an extra step that most people don't even bother doing, because it's more work and more money.
Yeah, it was fun.
That's cool. Excellent. Well, there you go. We all agree Ghostbusters is where it's at. People should be checking it out.
Yeah, there was discussion of possible Halloween costumes, so the kids liked it.
Absolutely. Oh, there you go. Yeah.
I'll do it, too.
The brown jumpsuit. Yeah, and little stripes.
I'll do the whole thing up.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, I'll make proton packs.
That's the way it was in the 80s. Yeah, the proton pack with the hose.
Yeah.
And then, but now you can also come up with, like, that weird ghost gun punching thing.
Oh, no,
thing,
you can't grab candy with that on your hand, bro.
Well, yeah, I got the other hand. You got the other hand. You hang the bag on that hand.
That's a con element. That's for going to a con.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's not for trick or treating.
Not for Halloween.
No.
Not for gathering the sweets.
No,
the
you gotta have hands free. That's a hands free activity.
Hands free candy gathering.
Yes.
Everyone check out Ghostbusters. It's a good movie. We all agree. That was number three. What was number two then?
Secret Life of Pets.
Okay.
We can gross 29.3.
Still
making
money. Total of 260.
Still making money. 260. Might make it to 300, which is pretty impressive. Who did this? I think it's Illumination. It was the same people that did the Despicable Me movies.
Right.
They did those, and they also did... they may have also done Cloudy with a Chance of... No, that was Sony.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
That's a great movie.
Oh my
Lord
God.
Miller!
That movie is so funny.
It's so fantastic.
I still do...
My favorite... Yeah.
or his... when he's doing like super agent music or whatever.
And everything Mr. T in that movie is gold.
My fantastic. Favorite part is when the monkey... is fighting the gummy bear on the wing of the plane. He rips out the gummy bear's heart.
He holds it.
And holds it out. And the gummy bear's like, oh!
And it's Neil Patrick Harris, too, the whole time, yeah. Doing the monkey noises.
Is that even true? That's anything. Great. Yeah. I love that.
They howled at NPH.
Oh, look, he's throwing chocolate. Oh, wait.
Yeah. Oh, good, the snowball fight. Oh, my God.
Yes. That movie's hilarious.
That's a fantastic movie. But you saw Secret Life of Pets.
I did.
And what did you think of this one?
It was super cute.
Yeah?
It was super cute, yes.
But was it super cute? Like, it's totally worth taking the family out to go see it? Or is that like a DVD type of
thing?
Based
on the stuff that I've heard, if you give me the names of like the couple of previous summer movies that came out for children, what was the last one?
Finding Dory.
Right, which I didn't see. My kids saw that when I didn't see it.
The BFG came out as well.
That's a family movie.
Jungle Book.
That was back in April.
I'm hearing much more good stuff about this one. And I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it. There were ones that I skipped. The characters were funny. Mm-hmm. Remind me of the man who plays the rabbit.
Kevin Hart.
Oh, so funny.
Seals the show.
So funny.
That's what we've been hearing.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, it was definitely ensemble. Also, the girl who played Gidget, who I don't know. Oh, they didn't, you know, they always do so many, you know, it's always Kristen Schaal and Kristen Wiig.
And they didn't
do that this time. They went with, you know, like other people.
Is it, I forgot. Someone
who's the lead? Who plays Max? Do we know?
I don't know. Just some random dude.
You know, but it's always, you know, it's always random these, bro. It's always like, you know, homeboy who's Flynn Rider in Disney. It's like that guy. Somebody who could sing. Or Bill Hader.
Bill Hader, Cloudy with a Chance.
Exactly.
He does great voice work.
He does.
Yeah.
But so there were a lot of names that were new for me, for somebody who watches a lot of cartoons.
Okay, sure. The new actors get in onto the voice acting game.
Yeah, which is good.
I gotta spread it out. God can't always be Morgan Freeman.
Everybody can't sound like Putty.
Should be.
He's in everything.
Yeah, Patrick Warburton.
Yes. So awesome.
He is in everything.
Oh, yeah. Man. He's in Venture Brothers.
Have you seen
He's great in Venture Brothers. But he's in the video games, too. And Skylanders.
Because he has such a distinct voice.
He's got that voice.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
I know
it's
exactly
like H. John Benjamin. is in everything. And he doesn't even change his voice. That's the best part. He, like, is Archer and in Dr. Katz and in Bob's Burgers. He's just the same.
There are these people who, no matter what they do, it's just, we're hiring you for your voice.
He's not even trying.
Just speak like you. And like just read these lines
and
of dialogue.
All the animated characters that guy plays are, like, regular-looking dudes. And you look a picture of that guy, he is really strange.
He did that show, John Benjamin Has a Van.
Yes.
For a while.
Really weird.
Which was weird, but really funny. It didn't last. Nobody wants to look at him. They just want to listen to
exactly.
him.
Comedy Central's good at giving comedians like a chance to come up with a really weird show, but then they will axe it so fast.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, three episodes and you are
done.
He's
funny as hell and great in all the cartoons that he's in.
Yeah, and it's...
He was in Home Movies. Do you remember Home Movies?
I do remember Home Movies.
That's a great one. He played the coach, Brennan, the soccer coach.
Brendan Small's show before he did Metalocalypse.
Right. Coach McGurk.
Yeah.
He was great in that, too.
That's Adult Swim stuff.
That's
crazy stuff. So then you would recommend Secret Life of Pets? It sounded like you would recommend people check it out.
Especially for people with kids. Absolutely.
Ross was on last week. He said he liked it, too. He took his kids. They all seemed to enjoy it. He was dinging it a little bit for being a Toy Story riff. Another movie about, what happens when the humans aren't around, and like, then there was pets, and now, but you were like, no, you're fine.
I'm fine. I'm such a dog person.
Oh, that'll help.
So I enjoyed, the doggy stuff and the pet owner stuff that you see in there, like funny, quirky things that your animals do, and the way pet owners love their animals no matter what they do. I so relate to that. So if you have kids and if you are a dog or a pet lover, because there's some cats in there too.
Sure.
Yes.
It's definitely, when I saw the first trailer, I was
like,
this is
gonna pet lovers, people who really love their pets,
we're like pet owners.
We're a weird bunch.
Yeah.
We love our animals.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
They gently made fun of that. This guy's
a weirdo pet owner. You should see the things he does with his cat, the way they do.
That's a cute cat. Very friendly.
Very too friendly.
She can be. She can also
too friendly.
Talks so much.
She's a noisy cat.
Very
pretty.
I like not being a pet owner, but being pet owner adjacent. So like, I get to hang out with my mom's dog a little bit and play around with it.
Right.
And then like,
I've seen pictures of your mom's dog.
Yeah, she's so cute. And then like, the dog pooed everywhere. I gotta go, mom.
Yeah.
Have fun.
It's like people with babies.
Yeah. I'll take this back.
I want to feed the baby. Now you can have it back.
Now you can have it back when the food comes out the other end.
Right.
I set it up for you. You can knock them down. That's how that works. Number two, Secret Life of Pets. Amy says go see it. What's the number one movie,
Run,
Drew?
Don't walk.
Number one, Star Trek Beyond.
Star Trek Beyond, number one.
Weekend gross, $59.6
million. Okay.
Seems total.
Not bad opening weekend at all, I think, for a late July movie. Star Trek, I feel like, maybe it should come out earlier in the summer.
New Star Trek show coming out soon.
That's right, on CBS, I believe. New crew and everything.
Oh, but I think you have to subscribe or something the first time, right? Whoa. Wasn't there some subscription-based deal going on?
Really?
With that?
Yeah, no,
I have
thank
to look
you.
That up.
No, thank you, CBS. Fortunately, you don't have to subscribe to anything to go see Star Trek Beyond.
That's true.
We just went and saw it. I'm not even that much of a Star Trek fan. I think the movies are whatever, and the TV shows never got into them.
Okay.
The new movies are okay. I like the 2009 one much more than I like the most recent one with Benedict Cumberbatch. The Star Trek Into
Darkness.
Yeah, the whole Khan thing, that was a bunch of BS.
Yes, agreed. The debut, the reboot.
Yes, yeah.
I am so bad today.
Yeah, be careful. Watch the
reboot.
People don't like that song.
That was another one where I will say, I went because I was a Star Trek fan. I am a Star Trek fan
okay.
of the show.
Okay.
Love the original, love the Next Generation. Watched Deep Space Nine.
Uh-huh.
Was very skeptical, but had to go.
Sure.
Chris Pine nails Kirk.
He's good. You know,
I'm
not the biggest Chris Pine fan.
I
think he's fine in these. Totally.
He nails just the movement.
Yeah.
Like, the way he moves.
The swagger of being a captain.
It's identical to Shatner. Like, I remember in the end being so delighted watching him hop into the captain's chair, and it could have been William Shatner.
Yeah. He's probably watched. You probably watch a bunch of like,
a
old
bunch of them.
I'm just going
to
copy this guy.
But to be able to nail it, so he did a great job. Well, yes, I agree with you. First of the reboot was better than the second.
And I feel like for me, Star Trek Beyond is the best of the three new ones. What do you think, Drew? Where'd you rank
really?
This? Yeah, but did you like the other one more? I noticed halfway. I felt like you were getting pretty restless watching the
movie. I was so insanely bored by this movie.
I could feel Drew's restlessness watching it.
The plot didn't matter.
Mm.
The entire movie didn't matter.
Well, it felt very episodic.
Nothing.
It felt like a Star Trek episode.
Nothing in this movie mattered. And in all reality, nothing fucking happened either.
That's That's the way they've been making Star Trek since the 60s. None of the movies matter. The movies, every movie, the status quo was set by the beginning to the end.
Well, that's TV in general. Like, it has to go back to the way everybody expects it to be at the end.
For the next installment in order to continue. Right.
I mean, they even make a joke about it
in the movie at one point.
I get it, but how many times are they going to destroy the Enterprise? This is the third movie. I'm pretty sure this is the fourth Enterprise we've gotten.
Did they destroy the Enterprise in the 2009 one?
I'm pretty sure...
It definitely got destroyed in the last one. I was like, this is the second movie in a row where the Enterprise got destroyed.
Homeboy, second use of Eric Bana. Yes, when Eric Bana came in, I'm pretty sure they destroyed the Enterprise.
So in all three of the new Star Trek movies, the Enterprise gets destroyed in various ways.
Yes. Okay. So this is the fourth Enterprise in three movies.
The contractors are getting massive amounts of work.
I just want to know, it's definitely a U.S. It's a military industrial complex.
Maybe this is what they do. They're racking it up so they can get more military spending, creating demand.
And
have you noticed also every time it's the most advanced starship in the fleet?
Well, the Enterprise?
Yeah.
Well, it's duh.
Always.
Yeah, it's the Enterprise.
I'm just saying.
This is just one of those things you have to buy into.
Yeah, it's a flagship, bro.
I'm getting really sick of this.
Drew's had enough.
Yeah, I really have. I have. The third one, the first one was good.
Okay.
I was looking for them to do something more with the second one, and they took a step back.
The second one for me was just, you know, that whole scene when Spock and Uhura are, you know, jamming it down, that thing's going like a million miles an hour, and they're not even remotely looking like they need to hang on to anything. They're like surfing it like it's a hoverboard in Back to the Future.
You want to talk about surfing it? The Enterprise straight up surfs a giant barrel wave of alien ships in space.
Yeah, that was this movie. That was pretty cool.
So would you say they depended on CGI a little in this movie?
With the space battles.
I'm just taking a stab at this since I haven't seen it, but basically
it looked like some of the alien work was practical effects in the beginning.
There's all these,
like makeup. Yeah, some nice makeup.
There's a decent amount of production design.
As the story progressed, and what they were doing with the villain, obviously, I don't want to give anything away, but what they were doing with him, they seemed to stray from the practical effects more and more as the movie went on.
Yeah, sure, because they got more involved in what they were trying to do.
I don't mind if the story's awesome.
The story's not awesome.
Yeah, that's what I'm
It is episodic. It didn't bother me as much. I thought it was fine. I was like, okay, this is an okay story enough that they set something up. At the very least. I gotta say.
They're almost always disappointing. They just are. I'll still never forget. You could write it on my tombstone. Why did you do that Clash of the Titans? Why?
That was the worst.
The worst.
I will say that for at the very least, this movie has a beginning, a middle, and an end. It really doesn't. It's not. Besides for a weird time travel thing that they use to give a shout out to Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
Which is still kind of annoying. It doesn't make any sense.
You think he would say that? He'd be like, come on.
It's dumb. But at the very least, this movie has a beginning, middle, and end where it's not contingent on you seeing any previous movies, and it's not setting up future movies.
No, it's not. I would have probably gone.
I would have double featured it with my kids yesterday if I had thought.
What, to set up a future, another Star Trek?
No, I would have taken them. I just thought, oh, I'm not going to take them to see it because they're going to not know who anyone is.
Oh, no, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's the...
I love it.
It does help the theme
of the movie from Drew is it just nothing matters.
None of it matters. Nothing happened and it doesn't matter because none of it matters anyway.
Nothing happens.
It's definitely you gotta like the characters. You gotta like Kirk, you gotta like Spock, you gotta like Bones.
You have to like them a lot.
I love those three. I think they do a good job. The rest of them are a little bit kind of cartoony. But I guess the originals were kind of cartoony too.
I think so. It's all a bunch of big characters, big archetypes, I think they're whatever. I thought the movie was fine. It's an acceptable summer blockbuster film. A lot of effects, jokes. It's got the jokes. It never stops being light. And since Justin Lin directed it, he directed like five of those Fast and Furious movies. Mm-hmm. There is a shot where like a space vehicle flies by really fast, and then he cuts a little Asian kid like looking at it, which is a shot straight out of Fast and Furious, like one of them.
That's funny.
But this time, the little Asian kid, he's green. He's got green skin and pointy ears because he's a little alien Asian green kid. But still, he's a Crasian. I thought the movie was fine enough. I think if you like Star Trek, if you're into this kind of stuff, you'll appreciate it. But Drew apparently doesn't think it's worth it. If you're a Star Trek fan, you gotta go. I think
if you're a Star Trek fan, you'll probably like it even less.
You think so?
Because it doesn't ring true to anything Star Trek. I mean, there's no development.
Say? As opposed to the angry internet that hates everything.
Well, I think it's well reviewed from critics.
The internet says Star Trek Beyond continues the franchise's post-reboot hot streak with an epic sci-fi adventure that honors the series' sci-fi roots without skimping on the blockbuster action.
That was a mouthful. That's neutral to positive.
Yeah. Well, that's the sense that's out.
Yeah, well, see, I'm more neutral to negative.
Right.
Andrew's like, wah.
I'm looking for something else out of these movies. They have these franchises. Of all the movies, the Star Trek franchise has the ability to be something so much more.
Uh-huh.
And they just give me an action space movie. I mean, they could have named this anything. It doesn't even have to be a Star Trek movie. It could have been Joe Schmo in space.
Could have been Unstoppable in space.
This could have been the next Buckaroo Banzai movie. I mean,
a new Buckaroo Banzai would be pretty awesome.
I'm just saying.
I'd be down with a new Buckaroo Banzai movie. All right, well, there you go, people. I thought it was all right. Drew was like, no.
I think they phoned it in.
I'm going to go, but I don't know.
Well, you got to go make up your own opinion now.
Yeah, I'm going to go, but I don't know.
Because apparently we're not helping.
I'll enjoy Chris Pine, if nothing else.
I think he's fine. Yeah, he's good. He's a Kirk. He's a total Kirk.
I do like his Kirk.
And they're talking about making a fourth one.
Only talking about it?
Well, yeah, they haven't greenlit it yet officially, Paramount. J.J. Abrams at Comic-Con was just talking a bit about it. And promoting Star Trek Beyond, it's like, we have a story idea for the fourth one that involves time travel, so we can get James T. Kirk's father back into the mix, because we had the foresight to cast Chris Hemsworth as James Kirk's dad in that 2009 movie. Now James Hemsworth is a big fucking movie star all these years later. I keep saying James Hemsworth because of James Kirk. Chris Hemsworth's a big movie star now, so we're gonna make Thor, and he's great in Ghostbusters.
He was so dumb in that movie. His character was literally dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I get it.
Oh my god, it's so loud! I have to cover my eyes.
Yeah, that was a bit much.
That was great.
It was totally funny the first time he rubbed them and there were no lenses, but like the second time, I was like, I saw it the first time.
Yeah, yeah, he kept going back to that. Well, yeah, I thought that was great. He was a funny character. So yeah, they have an idea for a fourth one. We'll see if they make it. Maybe Drew, they'll achieve what that lofty Star Trek goal you're looking for.
It'll be just as bland as action packed as the last one.
Yeah, probably, most likely. All right, well, there we go. That was your box office recap for the week.
Did you tell everybody last week to stay through the credits at Ghostbusters?
No, because I don't even stay through the credits. When I find out that there's a scene, I go online and I search, you know, Ghostbusters after credit scene, and I just read about it.
I stayed.
You stayed?
Yeah, I'm old.
I left. It's but I know they setting up Zool.
Yeah, that was fun.
For hopefully the next movie, which would then make Ghostbusters, their Ghostbusters 2, would then be sort of a remake, even more a remake of the 84.
That's my go-to line with my kids. When they're mommy, 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 I always go, there is no mommy, only Zool.
No mommy.
I always say that.
You're not supposed to say something like that to your kids.
Now they understand it, though, because they've seen the movie and they're like, hey.
That's true.
What's up? It's your boy, Stone the Terrible.
It's your boy, the Black David Hasselhoff from Forget That Yo Radio. You are now listening to Cinema Crespo Diso,
the number one show for movie reviews. Now back to the show.
Sega! Guys, check out AmyDrewThompson.com. Hit up Amy Drew on Twitter at AmyDroo. Good stuff. You were just like staring off. You're ready to go.
Well, I thought you were going somewhere past the OO. You were just like, oh. And back to the show.
Back to the show. Before we do the final best of clip and then the final lightning round mashup, excuse me, I was asking him to do this, and I'm going to do it. And a good thing I wrote it down twice and then highlighted it and then circled it and put a starting switch.
Because you completely forgot about it.
Oh, I completely forgot about it. That's why it's happening so late in the show. At the very top, the Orlando Indie Film Take 2. Guys, I was asked to promote this. I'm going to do it again. So here we go. The Orlando Indie Comedy Festival, June 19th to June 22nd. You can just Google Orlando Indie Comedy Fest and it'll pop right up. I'm sure that might even be the website. Just add.com at the end of it, see what happens. $40 will get you a VIP pass for every single night. There are national touring comedians that'll be there as headliners, plus a whole bunch of great local acts, and people come from all over to perform. It's a big deal. They've been doing it for a while now.
Word.
It's good stuff. And there are people performing there that have been past guests on the show, like Ross McCoy, and future guests of the show, such as You gotta listen to find out. That's how. That's how you plug a show, Drew. That's how you do
works.
It. That's how it works. Clip 7. Very recent. You know how recent this was?
Last week.
It was last week. But guys, if for some reason this is your first chime, who boy.
First chime.
If this is your first chime listening to Cinema Crespi, so yes, it is usually this drunken. Secondly, I recommend you go back and you check out the very last episode, 209, with Brett Rice.
Yes.
A lot of fun. Great guy. He was game for the whole thing.
He was.
You know, everything we threw at him, he was right was, there with us.
I was really surprised at how much of just, like, a normal guy he was.
He was a dude.
He's just a dude.
He showed up in a pickup truck with a red flannel shirt and totally. Jeans. And he was like, let's do this guy. He pulled out his tablet. I was like, let's go. I was like, I like this guy. At the halfie, I was like, would you like a beer? He's like, I'll have a beer.
And he might smoke a cigarette with me.
Came out and smoked a cigarette. He's a cool dude. He does a lot of fun. He told us a lot of great stories then. One of the very first stories, like just like I told you, Drew, just like I said I would. Yeah. One of the very first things I asked him.
So,
what was it like doing a fight scene with Wesley Snipes? And I framed this. What was it like getting beat up by him? Apparently,
he actually did.
Apparently,
he actually took a hit.
He took a shot from Wesley Snipes. Always bet on black himself. Do I? Is that a thing? No, I don't have any Wesley Snipes things. Oh, that's a shame. Oh well. So, guys. Check out Brett Rice telling the story about doing a fight scene with the one and only Wesley Snipes in Passenger 57. And, right? Yep.
Yes.
We queued it up good enough?
Go.
Here we go. Before we get started with anything else, Brett, one question I have to ask you immediately.
Okay.
What was it like getting beat up by Wesley Snipes?
It hurt. Actually, it's a funny story. I had a great stunt guy, Lex Gettings was my stunt man on the movie, and he did all the falls and the major stuff. But at one point, Wes and I did have that fight scene in the stairwell, and he hit through a few punches, and he's black belt karate or whatever.
Yeah, he does his own thing, yeah.
It's amazing. But he said, all right, now I'm going to do this, hit you three times, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when a guy is that good,
fast.
You don't move.
Right.
Right. And when he threw that third punch, and it caught me because I leaned.
Oh.
And he caught me right in the chin, and I just, whoa, I was seeing stars.
No wonder the acting was so good in that scene.
Exactly. That was realism. That's right there.
Oh, my goodness. When I was rewatching that scene, because I'm a huge Wesley Snipes fan. I grew up watching 80s and 90s action movies. Like, there's a part where he backfists your face and then he throws you into the wall. That's all you, right? The stuntman doesn't come in until he throws you over the rail.
But now, in movies, they'll have the actor go through in slow motion the actual
work. Yeah.
And yes, I threw myself into the wall, but I threw myself with him holding.
Okay, yeah.
But then they do the scene with the stuntman doing the whole work.
Oh, okay.
And that's when it gets wild.
Yeah.
The guy's getting beaten up, he's getting hit, he's thrown into the wall.
You see the impact.
He bounces off and he goes over the stairwell.
Right.
Now, we shot that at Sanford Airport years ago.
Oh, really? Okay.
And they have a tiny little tower.
Yeah.
And the stairs go straight up in little tiny steps, you know.
Like on a boat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the stairwell, it has a little wall about 3 feet high.
Okay.
And he takes and throws me into the wall.
Yeah.
And then he throws me over the stairwell, down the stairs.
Yeah.
Well, I never seen the stairs.
Oh, no.
So I stop as I get to the wall and to the ledge and cut.
Get
Lex,
here.
Yep. Lex, come on in here.
Yeah.
And Lex, my God bless him, this guy is amazing. He takes him from the wall and throws him, and Lex just jumps.
Just went for it.
And just down the stairs.
Oh, my goodness.
Out of the bottom. And I hear this.
Oh, no.
And cut. That was beautiful. Can we do it again? And Lex comes hobbling up the stairs. Apparently, he had cracked something in his
head. Oh, man.
And he goes, nope, got this. It's all good. He did it again.
Wow. Oh, man.
He's done a whole bunch of stunts for me over the years.
That's the life of a stuntman, right?
Seriously.
I'm going to throw myself down some stairs, get hurt on the first take.
With a smile on my face.
He did a movie, Black Knight, up in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And got kicked by that horse.
Is that the one with the Martin Lawrence movie?
Yeah, that's the one.
And he got kicked by a horse?
He got kicked by that big black horse.
That is dedication.
That'll put you down.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it did.
Oh, man. Shout out to Lex. Good for you, Lex. Is he still doing the stunts, Lex?
Yeah, he's up in somewhere in Louisiana. He's got growing his own gang. Baton Rouge, I believe.
That's the goal, right? For stuntman, you eventually lead your own team, you train stunt, people. Stunt coordinator. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm sure you can't take those hits for your whole life.
No. And who would want to?
Yeah, right? At a certain point, you want to think about moving up the ladder.
I don't know. Some of those pro wrestlers, they seem like they enjoy it.
Yeah, do they? We'll talk to Simon.
We'll talk to our
Yeah, we'll talk to our resident pro wrestler about that, Simon Time. I'm sure he's going to be ready to call it quits. Or move into the managerial aspect eventually.
What's the fuss?
Hey, Archie, shouldn't we have done a Cinema Crespediso commercial by now?
Shouldn't we have? Yes, we should have, yeah.
Bill, yep. why didn't we do that?
I don't know. Archie, why didn't we do that?
I didn't do that.
You didn't do that.
No,
oh,
I didn't
shit.
Do that.
Don't Bill? Look at me. I don't have any ideas. I hate commercials.
Let's play a clip then. I just got a letter from the police.
Dear Rocky, thank you so much for your annual donation of $12 and one sign that said GFY. We can only imagine, because of your generous contribution, that stands for good for you. Sincerely, Police Department.
A product of radio.
Thanks, Brett Rice, for coming out. We appreciate it, guys. That episode is awesome. I highly recommend you go back and listen to 208 if you haven't already. If you already did, listen to it again. Surely you missed things.
I mean, I missed things, and I was there.
You were there. Well, you don't pay attention, so that's why you missed things. Lightning round. We do lightning rounds at the end of every episode. I meant to do the math, and I did. Grab your calculator. Calculator app. We're going to do this on the show now. Drew, add up. Please add 23, 30, 26, and 30. And then subtract 10. Because I already fucked up the math.
99.
Now multiply that by 10.
990.
990 plus a few lightning rounds for guests that we didn't have, that we had prepared, but it didn't show, but we did them anyway. Like, I gave you a couple. Just over 1,000 lightning round questions have been asked on Cinema Crespediso. 1,000 fucking questions. That's and answers. That is a goddamn lot. I didn't even think about that until I started doing this. Until I put together a mashup of lightning round questions from 15 different guests. So not only have guests that we heard of, but other people. I'm going to read off the list of people. This is the mashup of lightning round questions from Cool Carl, Nikki Wilson, SBK, Curtis Earth. We listened to a couple of Curtis Earth songs throughout the show today. We appreciate him. Steve Etchie, Chico, Black Castlehoff, Amy Drew, Jesse Wolf from O Dang Hummus, Ross McCoy, and Samantha Har from Tom and Dan, our homie Simon Time. We love that guy. DJ Baby Lack, he was here for episode 200. You check that out. As well as Swervy Jones and Trey from the Swervy Jones Show. Oh, we just did our own Swervy Jones theme song. Look at that. Yeah, see, titties, guys. We can come up with terrible themes too. We appreciate you. So guys, check out this sweet ass lightning round mashup. Why is it so good? Because I fucking did it and it took me some work, and you better like it, because you sons of bitches, this is free, motherfuckers. And you think you're the best audience? I've seen good audiences, man. Let's prove it. Prove it, guys.
I've seen better.
I've definitely seen better. I ain't gonna pretend.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
Start the clock.
Go.
Number one, are you down with OPP?
Yes.
Number two, what is OPP?
Oh. I tried to think of something clever and my brain just went nope.
That's what the lightning does. It does my brain all the time. What is OPP?
Orlando? People pleaser.
All right. Orlando. That's what they call Drew Sakagawa in the streets. Would you rather be a boss or an employee?
I would rather be an employee because I could always learn from my boss.
Nice. Why do they include the word dictionary in the dictionary?
They forgot to not edit.
They forgot to take it out?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. There you go. How do you want to be remembered?
As funny.
What website do you go to every day?
Ugh. God. USAtoday's10best.com.
There you go.
Orlando section.
Would you rather have no one show up at your wedding or no one show up at your funeral?
No one show up at my wedding.
What is your favorite smell?
Baked bread.
Number four, you win $1 million. What do you do?
by a studio.
Do you prefer to crash with friends or stay at a hotel?
Hotel.
Should I be allowed to eat performance-enhancing bacon?
Yes.
At what age do you consider a person to be old?
70.
So would you want to know when you'll die?
Absolutely not.
Who is the rebel without applause?
I'd say Charlie Chaplin, because you couldn't hear much of anything going on when he was doing stuff.
I saw movies, that's true. Number 7. Can you rendezvous do?
I would ask Papa Shango.
Papa Shango. How deep is your love?
It's so deep.
Would you survive a zombie apocalypse?
No.
What do you like to do on a rainy day?
Read a book.
If you had the chance to be invisible for one day, what would you do?
Run around naked.
All right, number 5. Well, you'd have to. The clothes are invisible. Kanye West and Dr. Ben Carson endorsed each other. Who lost more credibility?
Kanye West.
What is the closest thing to heaven?
Closest thing to heaven, probably a chocolate pudding pie.
If you could teleport right now, where would you go?
Los Angeles.
Why does everybody love a happy ending?
Which one are we talking about? Well played. Happy ending of movies because it's motivational.
Who wrote the Book of Love?
The Electric Boogaloo.
Number 8. The Electric Boogaloo. Number 8.
There was a band and that wasn't even close to it, so I just threw out. Yeah.
Who wants to live forever?
Nobody.
Number 9. Who let the dogs out?
Me.
And number 10. What's new, Pussycat?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Where does ice cream come from?
From little ice cream angels.
Number 3. Prenuptial agreements, a good thing or the greatest thing?
The greatest thing.
How many rappers must get dissed before someone says don't fuck with Chris?
The count has been reached. We're done.
Done?
Yeah, it's over. Yeah,
it's over.
Yeah.
Number 4. Am I really just a narcissist because I wake up to a bowl of lobster bisque?
That's what I heard.
iPhones versus Androids. Why do people care which corporate overlord makes better products?
Because it makes us feel special and important to pick a side. And we need something flashy to run around town with and take pictures with.
What was your first job?
Delivering newspaper.
Oh, yeah. Why isn't there mouse-flavored cat food?
Because the mice are going to eat the cat food at that point.
The mice are going to eat the cat food?
Yes.
Cannibal mice?
Yes. They're all cannibals.
Describe your perfect day in 5 words or less.
Perfect day in 5 words or less. Music, cooking, walking, dating, movies.
There you go. Is that 5?
Sure.
Star Trek or Star Wars, which fan base gets laid the least?
Ooh. Trek.
Yeah, I was just about to say Star Trek all the way.
I was going to say that too, guys. That's what I was thinking. What is the emergency broadcast syndrome?
I'm pretty sure he had orange hair. A badass suit and a cape, which was a big no-no back in those days.
Capes are bad. Number 10. Finally, how can you be the hit of the search party?
Finding what they're looking for.
Find you. You'll be what they're looking
That's
for.
That's right.
That you're into the search party.
That's right. I am what they're searching for.
There you go. Our fathers were our models for God. If our fathers bailed, what does that tell you about God?
He's got to go.
Who is the greatest pro wrestler of all time?
The greatest pro wrestler of all time. Holy crap. Shawn Michaels.
Kevin, why do bars have parking lots if you can't drink and drive?
Good question.
Thank you. If you found $100, what would you do?
I would go ahead and put it in my Carl Wants to Be a Movie Maker Fund.
There you go. Very nice. Why is partying such sweet sorrow?
Partying?
Yes.
I've never had a bad time partying. It's not sorrowful at all.
What's up with casseroles?
Delicious.
Number 7, Blackula versus Black Dracula. Who wins?
Ooh, Blackula.
Have you ever tie-dyed your own clothes?
Yes. So much.
If God sneezes, what should you say?
Ooh, hallelujah.
Do you like movies about gladiators?
Ah, oh, yes. Earth and Water.
Number 2. Do they speak English in what?
Man, I would love to have a Jerry curl.
What food do you like to snack on?
Cheddar cheese.
How do you Ebola-rama?
No idea. I'm usually blacked out by then.
New Kids on the Block, NSYNC, One Direction. Who do you kick out of the hot tub?
New Kids, they're too old.
Too old! Get them old asses out of here. Rock, paper, scissors, which do you choose?
Scissors, I'll stab you.
That is correct. Rank the Star franchises, Wars, Trek, and Gate. Go.
Am I going opinion, right? My opinion
yeah.
would be Star Trek, Star Wars, Stargate.
That's 1, 2, 3?
Yep.
Do you have advice for the young at heart?
I do. Do not waste time. Just go and follow your dreams.
Boom. What is your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Vanilla.
How do you know when you have run out of invisible ink?
When you start writing regular ink.
Why do aliens abduct humans?
Because we're stallions. We're delicious.
What is the best radio station in town?
Oh, DJ Babylat Radio.
Yeah, number 9, 16 Candles or the Sistine Chapel.
16 Candles.
And finally, number 10, Ronald McDonald, the Burger King, and the Wendy's girl get into a knife fight. Who wins?
Ronald McDonald.
Ronald McDonald, there we go. That was your lightning round. Rod Roddy and Don Pardo get in a fight. Who does the introductions?
Howard Finkel.
Have you ever had sex with a pharaoh?
No.
Number 10, if you had 24 hours to live, what would you do?
I guess I would die at the end of the day.
So practical. Why do you need an appointment to see a psychic?
Because I gotta make them money.
Gotta make them money. It's Farley Trey, number 10, Count Chocula, Frankenberry, or the Trix Rabbit. Who do you kick out of bed?
Trix Rabbit.
Trix Rabbit out of that bed. Get out of here.
He's a pedophile because tricks are for kids.
Tricks for kids, bro.
Oh, you know what? Thank you. I didn't even think about that. They're good. Roadhouse. Thanks a lot, guys. That was a lightning round. That was some good lightning round stuff.
That's some good stuff.
It was edited a little choppy, a little sloppy, but you know what? I do a lot of drinking in the studio. And it was, I did that late at night, and some of this was kind of slapdash together a little bit. But hey.
It's free.
It's free! Theme of episode 210 is that it's free. We're going to be back with episode 211. It's going to be a little late, but we're doing our bonus. Not a bonus, but we're doing our fourth anniversary episode. It's a couple weeks late, but we're doing it. Tom the Beer Guy, he's booked. He's coming in. That episode will be fueled by OBP.
Yes, it will.
So if you think this one's a slurry mess, you just wait.
Ooh, that one would be even slurrier.
You just wait. We got some other big guests coming up the weeks after that. You guys are going to be very happy with what we have in store. That's for sure. Now, before... we get out of here. Drew, I have one more surprise for you.
Oh, great.
I have a 25-minute supercut of every time you flub something. You ready? You ready to listen to this? It's every,
sure.
It's every time you fuck something up.
There's a lot of that.
Here we go. You ready? Guys, check it out. I'm not going to. It's way too much work. I did think about putting a supercut of both of us. But like, every time, anytime either of us were like, oh, just put it together.
Or maybe like misspelling, saying words backwards with our dyslexic asses.
Yes, anytime. We fuck something up just doing, but you know what?
I mean, you should have put a super cut of me trying to read Ron's emails. That would have been great.
My brain would break trying to be like, was that a sentence fragment? Ron, we love you. You're the best.
I do. You're fantastic.
You're awesome. Guys, Orlando Indie Comedy Fest, January 19th to the 22nd. See, I'm already, this is definitely over. CinemaCrespedito@gmail.com. Email us.
You could add all this to the blooper reel.
Future Boogaloo Reel for best of... This is best of 2, Electric Boogaloo. Best of 3, Citizens on Patrol. I have more Boogaloo Reel stuff. Okay. I actually have Boogaloo Reel going on. Maybe we'll get an intern to do that.
Intern?
Yeah, because then we don't have to pay them.
Oh,
man.
You want to come intern for failing podcast?
Yes. Not failing. If it's designed to not make money, is it failing?
Can we write this off our taxes as like some sort of non-profit nonsense?
Yeah.
Because we're a failing business.
I'm sure we can find a way to do it.
We should.
We gotta open that failing restaurant.
Yeah, we get Robert Irvine to come and make it real.
Hell yeah. Drew Co. Subsidiary.
I know. Failing restaurant.
Failing restaurant. LLC. That'll be it. Drew's Failing Restaurant, LLC. Yeah. That's what we'll name it.
We're really upfront about it.
Guys, come save our failing restaurant. All right. That was episode 210. We'll be back with more stuff soon. Thank you, Drew Sikogwer.
You're very welcome, Chris.
Thank you everyone for downloading and listening. Rate us, review us on iTunes and Stitcher. Break up the big banks. Read more books, etc., etc. Free boot me up, Jubal. Oh boy. Oh boy. Wow. Find me. I'm out in the middle of the desert. Find me and save me. Save
Bad
me from
country,
myself.
My friend.
Bad country. Save me from myself.